privilege of sending out one of our young people to Life Action Camp, Becca Newman, and she's going to give you a little report. She was there for a whole month, right?
Yeah.
So, Becca, it's all yours.
Thank you. Is this on? Is it on now? Okay, now it is. Okay, there we go. So I was at Life Action for about a month, and so I was a crew member, and so that's kind of like a staff member, but below a staff member. So I work behind the counter or a crew or a kitchen personnel, like stuff like that. So they would give me assignments. Like my first week was a snack shop. Oh, there we go. Okay, snack shop person behind the counter. So I would help people get their ice cream, sell shirts. And then my next 2 weeks was a kitchen in the evening. So I would do dinner and snack. And then my last week was morning kitchen, which was breakfast and then lunch. And then that was my favorite week because I had, like, a lot of time afterward. And so, well, it was really early in the morning because I had to wake up at 6. But anyway, and then I learned a lot of stuff there. Like, during the morning or the last week, I went to sessions, which is kind of like youth group. So I learned different things, like my first week was trust in the Lord, and then that really helped me since this is going to be my senior year, and so I have to trust the Lord for, like, which college I'm going to go into, and then which college area if I can get stuff done, stuff like that. And, well, I'm going to be going back in a week as a family aide, which is pretty much like a babysitter for the for the camp members, so the parents can go to the beach or just get away from the kids pretty much. And this is all volunteer. I don't get paid for this. It's a lot of fun, actually. Like, I don't know. We do get free time, not a lot of free time. I don't know what else to talk about, really, but...
All right, I'm going to ask you some questions. Can I do that?
Sure.
Okay, now you're going back. You weren't planning on going back.
No, I was not.
So why did you decide to go back?
Because there's a lot of friends there, and there's not a lot to do at home, so I might as well just go back.
I thought maybe you would say, like, I've been growing spiritually, and I didn't want it to stop, and so I'm going to go back for another week.
There's not a lot going at home.
So. Okay. And would you recommend this for any of our other young people to do next year?
Yes. Like, there's people younger than me, like maybe, I think it was like 15 to like college age people can go. And yeah, a lot of people can do it.
All right. Well, thank you, Becca.
You're welcome.
All right. We just encourage you, obviously, to use whatever spiritual gift God gives you in ministry. I am thankful for our missionaries today. If you, which I think many of you do, receive their email. If you don't, see Ruth, because she always forwards any emails we get to the church family, and we'd be glad to make you a part of that. But if you've been following the Rots at all, if you're like me, you just praise God every newsletter you get and what God is doing in and through them. And I use the word them because they are our missionaries. And if you read their letters, it's not Ryan by any means. It's Gretchen and Adriana and Miranda as well. And if nothing else, making cupcakes, right? Yeah, some of them look good. Not all of them, though. I mean, I'm just being honest. We're glad to have them with us and just update you a little bit on what God's doing. So, Ryan, Lord bless you as you come and share with us. And Gretchen.
Thanks, Pastor. Good morning. How's everybody doing today?
Pretty good.
Well, for us, it's super special because we're not just here visiting with you this morning, but we are back in the United States of America, right? And that, if you've never lived outside of the country, that carries a special privilege. So we're super happy to be back in America, back in this neck of the woods, and here visiting with all of you. What we wanted to do this morning is, I always forget when we start talking and we get excited about what God's doing, And I forget to mention that in the back we have a little table, a little display back there. And back there you'll find several different things. There's some new prayer cards, and it's actually that picture right there. That's a picture of the prayer card. And you can see not much has changed. In fact, all of the information in contacting us is exactly the same. The only thing that's changed is these two, right? They continue to grow despite my warnings of staying small, staying young. They continue to grow. Adrian and Miranda are getting bigger, almost 17 and almost 15.
It has been, I think, 4 or 5 years since we've been able to visit with you guys. We were here several summers ago, and this so much has changed and just progressed in the ministry and kind of advanced because of the grace of God in our lives. One of the main things is that God has provided for our ministry through the purchase of the Tactica Ministry Center. And this is kind of like Tactica headquarters in Costa Rica. It also is where our family lives. On the lower level, where you see those two windows, that's our main offices. And we have between 6 and 8 people always working in our main offices that are there hosting the ministry on a daily basis. So it's kind of like where our pastoral staff works and where we are hosting the police officers from. Up above is our very small 2-bedroom apartment. It's small enough for us to sleep in and do laundry. And so the rest of our time we spend downstairs. It's just kind of like our sleeping quarters. But then there's kind of like where it looks like a garage door, that's kind of like an auditorium area. So In church terms, we would say that's kind of like the church sanctuary. And then out back, we have a yard. And upstairs, there is dormitories where we host the short-term missionaries that come down. Every corner of this building is set up for discipleship. And so there's a conference room where Bible studies can take place. There's a little living room set up in the sanctuary as a discipleship corner. Out back, there's a discipleship living room. Out back to the left, there's a discipleship living room. And so all of these little corners of the building are set up to evangelize and disciple the police officers and their families.
So our best teammates, right, Adriana and Miranda, like I mentioned, almost 15 and almost 17, every time we come home each summer, and we do that, I don't know if you've tracked with our newsletters, we do that intentionally for a variety of reasons. One is it provides us a super connectivity with our churches that support us and the people that support us. It allows us as well to keep my police certification here in the state of Michigan. So when we come home, I also spend a few of those weeks working and maintaining my police certification, going to some updates and some schools that allow us to provide the training and the programs that we do in Costa Rica. So that's part of the reason why we come home. But when we do come home, Adrian and Miranda always say that they receive the same questions from all the churches and all the people. So they have made you a short video. It's about 4.5 minutes long or so. And it encompasses the top 5 questions that are asked to them each summer. So we're going to go ahead and flip to that. And hopefully those guys in the back can play it for us. Is that a possibility? I should have probably asked that before.
Hello, church.
We are Adriana Rott.
I'm Miranda Rott.
And we're missionaries in Costa Rica.
Today, we're going to be answering the top 5 questions that everyone has for missionary kids.
Number 1.
How old are you and when's your birthday?
I am 16 years old. I turned 16 on December 8th.
And I'm 14 and I turned 15 on August 15th.
And your birthday's coming up soon.
I know.
Do you want to tell them what we're going to do for your birthday?
We're actually going to Kentucky to visit some Tactica police officers, and I'm very excited.
Number 2.
Which one do you like better, the United States or Costa Rica?
This
is kind of a tricky question because we never grew up in the United States.
We only come down for like 2 months at a time, but I like them both equally.
Number 3. Where do we go to school?
We used to go to a private Christian missionary school in San Jose called Sojourn Academy, but when we both got into 8th grade, we transferred into Liberty University Online Academy. Basically, you read textbooks online, and you watch videos, and you answer questions and write reports on it.
Yep.
And all online, so we can do it all at home.
Homeschool.
And we're probably going to go to Liberty University
for college as well.
Number 4!
What do we want to study?
I want to go to Liberty University to become a pre-med student. I'm actually doing some internship work right now with a surgeon.
And I want to be a veterinarian because I love all the animals in the world. My grandma just got a really cute kitten and it's so cute.
Anyways, number 5.
Do you speak Mexican?
No.
Just kidding.
Number five.
What do you like most about Costa Rica?
For me, I like the relationships that we get to build at the course, because the Costa Rican courses are only twice a year, and we meet a lot of people in those two courses. And throughout the year, we just kind of get to meet them and disciple them and work with their kids and meet their families. So I think my favorite part is the relationship building.
I would agree with that, but on a less serious note, the food is amazing there.
It's very true.
Yes.
My favorite Costa Rican food is probably these things called patacones. They're like slammed plantains.
Smash and crispy. Crispiny?
They're really good.
They're really good. My favorite is carne mechada, which is like roast beef, and you shred it up, and it's with rice and beans, and it's so good.
So now we're each going to tell you a little bit about what we experienced in the last courses.
So, in this past course, in May, there was two separate courses going on. There was one medical and one tactical. I was a translator for the tactical.
I was a translator for the medical.
Yes. So, I got to work with the tactical guys and translate, and I was very nervous because that was the first time we ever translated because, you know, we're kind of young for translators, but I loved it. It was so cool, and it was like the best experience ever.
My favorite experience was in February course, the big tactical course, when I got to lead someone to the Lord for the first time. Very emotional. She had a very long history, and God changed her life.
So. Yeah. When an instructor was talking to this guy that we were trying to help, after he accepted Christ, I just remember calling Mom and crying. Remember that?
Yeah.
I was like, I'm so happy! I was like crying so hard, and everyone was like, are you okay, Marin? I'm like, yeah, I'm just really happy.
One thing that we are excited about for this summer is our missions trip to Scioto Hills, Ohio. We'll be working at a kids' camp, like leading songs and teaching chapel, doing some work projects, stuff like that.
Yeah, we're just really excited to see a new kind of ministry. Thank you guys so much for all of your support.
And all of your prayers.
Yes.
It means the world to us.
Goodbye and God bless. Bye.
You can see their personalities come out in that, right? Yeah.
Also, no. When we're in Michigan, it's not as warm as
you can go to the next slide.
I just like to...
We better keep moving on. But I remember growing up, my mom had a plaque in her living room that said, there's no greater joy than knowing your children walk with the Lord. And how many parents would agree with that? Yeah, exactly. So this year we're super, super, super happy. We're going to talk some more about it, of how God has just really blessed, in particular this year, in integrating our family fully together in ministry. Go ahead, Gretchen.
One thing that we hope that you walk away from this morning understanding is that our family has a really strong conviction about the importance of relationships. And so I was explaining a little bit of the use of the building has vast majority of the time to do with discipleship. But what we want to share with you this morning also is kind of how it looks in our life. Because when someone these days says, oh, we do training, we do evangelism, we do discipleship, there may be a picture in your mind that may not actually accurately represent what is taking place on the ground. And since you guys are really involved and faithful prayer supporters and financial supporters of the ministry, we want you to have an accurate picture of what does the actual breakdown of our time look like. We've been in Costa Rica now for 11 years, and you have been a faithful supporting church since the inception. When we first presented here, Tactica didn't exist. It was an idea in our mind, and the congregation actually wasn't at a point in your church life where you were able to take us on at that point. I remember we moved to Costa Rica, we started to get the ministry established, and lo and behold, East Arlington writes, and hey, God has provided, we would like to begin supporting you. And so really, since the very first initial phase of our ministry, you have been a part of our family and been a part of our ministry.
So as we go through this today, those three components in tactic are training, evangelism, and discipleship. But what we wanted to do is break it down a little bit for you. Because for us, evangelism, and we're going to talk about this in a second, isn't a program that we go do on Monday nights or an outreach. It's a lifestyle that we like to live. And so we want to kind of walk you through telling you some stories of relationships, using examples of real people, right? Because we can just project some pictures and other things like that. But what we really want to do is share a little bit of what God's doing with real names and real faces, because that's what it's all about. It's impacting the kingdom for God's glory. And that's what we want to share. So as we go into this, I just want to, we have like a little a chart here, a little flow chart that talks through the different components. So we'll have some big training components or big items on the right as we go up. But there's some little things that make that up that kind of go along in that process. And you'll probably note these same things in your life and in the ministries here at the church. So the first thing you see here is contact and conversations. And those things happen for us in our training environment. And so the police training, while a lot of times those are what give us cool pictures or different things like that, and they do get a lot of attention, but really the police side training of things is a very, very small component of what we do. It is, like it says there, that platform that we utilize that God's given to us to reach into the lives of that public safety sector or that tribe of people or that people group. They allow us to minister and have really provides us an audience into a variety of police officers. And over these last, we've been there almost 11 years. And the whole first year I was in language school. So really in those the last nine and a half years, we've been able to train over 4,000 police officers that have come through our doors or come through one of our training programs. 4,000 police officers from over 20 different police institutions. Basically, other than one or two very, very small new municipality police departments, we've been allowed to train in every police organization in the nation. So it's just an absolute huge blessing for us.
The police training can involve everything from physical fitness to room entry and hostage rescue. But what we want you to see more than anything is that this training is simply a platform which God has provided us in order to have contact with the police officers. And as that training begins, within the first 1 to 2 hours, we are moving from that contact of what's your name, what's your department, hey, are you married, how long have you been married, what side of the city do you live on, to conversation. And the whole point of conversation, going back to the key word for this morning, is relationships. And so we want the opportunity and to capitalize on the opportunity that God provides us to build a relationship with these officers. So during a Tactica course, we have an entire week with these officers that are sent to learn tactics and to train as a police officer at the police course. And we have the opportunity to build into their lives and to get to know them, always with an end goal. And that's what you'll see this morning, kind of going up the different steps and the different levels. But the end goal and what looks like success in this ministry, if the ministry is working, that finally they go. And that you'll see that later on this morning. But the whole point of the week of training is that we can live in community and build relationships with these officers, giving them opportunities to learn to depend on each other, many, many opportunities to open up with each other and with our instructors who are the short-term missionaries.
So what this really means, living in community, and we're kind of boogieing, going fast through the pictures there, because we do want to get to some actual stories for you. But this living in community, what that is an opportunity that we have to be intentional in all of the talking and the things that we're doing in our life. Let me put it in simple terms. So, for example, a few slides ago, you saw some pictures of some guys doing push-ups near a helicopter. Well, we do a lot of physical fitness, right? And physical fitness is done for a variety of reasons, to condition your body, et cetera, et cetera. Sometimes we use it to kind of snap them back into a rhythm if we're going to do something really, really dangerous so that they focus and have attention. But physical fitness in and of itself doesn't have carry a huge value. So what we try to do is capitalize on those moments, living in community, relationships, contacts, community, and I will teach them a Bible verse by doing push-ups. And so as we go down, we say one thing. As we come up, we say another thing. And so there's lots of programs or things that we incorporate, gospel components that we incorporate into everything we do, trying to be intentional in that process.
We have organized small group breakout sessions in the middle of this tactical course. So it's a little bit different idea than what we have in the United States when a police officer or a soldier might attend a tactical course. But at Tactica courses with our ministry, we take breaks throughout the day from the physical training, from the classroom sessions, and have time for spiritual conversations. So we have our short-term missionaries trained in how to lead these conversations, lead Bible studies, lead these Costa Rican officers just in real, direct, thought-provoking questions to get them thinking about eternity. in these relationships, in these circles, they're able to build the relationships. And we can get to know them and understand a little bit about what they're struggling with. And it's a kind of an environment where it's safer for them to take off that mask, to be a little bit more transparent.
So the initial context, these conversations, leads to living together in community, having common things, things in common, which all drive us to sharing the gospel. That's what it is all about. That is the purpose for all of these different items. And like I mentioned, evangelism we really see as a lifestyle. It's the way that we live. So it's much more than me just walking them through a couple of Bible verses. It's showing them through my life, through how to be a dad, through how to be a husband, by the way we interact in our marriage, who Jesus is, why he is so glorious, how he has transformed our lives. And so it is a complete lifestyle that we really believe in.
We have a very important tool that we use in this ministry. And several years ago, actually before we were even on the field in the ministry, the Lord laid on Ryan's heart a passion and a thirst to get the Word of God into all of the police officers in Kalamazoo City. And so he was a police officer in Kalamazoo Department of Public Safety before we moved to Costa Rica. And in 2005, during his pre-retirement season, God provided so that Ryan could give the gift of a police officer's Bible to every single police officer in the city with a personalized note. And that passion just stayed planted in Ryan's heart. And over the years, we saw this need to get God's Word in their hands. And the Bibles just weren't a convenient size. They were just too thick or too wide for officers to really carry in their bulletproof vest or to slide down into their uniform pants. And so Ryan put together with one of our national partners a Tactica Ministries Bible, which is the Word of God. It's basically actually the King James Version in Spanish. But do you want to explain a little bit about that product?
Yeah, what we wanted to do is have something that was attractive to the police officers that they would carry with them. So it had to be the right size. It had to be durable. And we wanted it kind of personalized to them. So there's a couple of them sitting at the back of our table if you want to thumb through them later. It will help if you speak Spanish and read Spanish, right? Because they are in Spanish. But we have a personalized section up front, really, that walks and talks them through about the importance of being authority and what that means according to God's Word. So there's a section in some devotionals that I wrote on Romans 13. It walks them through. There's like a gospel track in there that tells them how to live a Christ-centered life. Of course, the full plan of salvation, kind of explanation of a bridge illustration, and several other little components that they can use as police officers. And teaches them how to use the Bible. And we're gonna talk about that in just a minute as well. But it's really much more than just putting it in their hand. And we give God glory for that, right? Because you think 4,000 officers. So that means 4,000 people that never had really had ever had access or had God's Word, or at least their own copy of it, now have that. But for us, it's really getting it in their hand. That's the first step, right? But it's also teaching them how to use that book. And just recently, it was probably maybe a shade over a year ago, the Federal Investigative Police, which is, they call themselves the Costa Rican FBI, but that's a little far-fetched. They had a new boss come in. His name's Walter Espinosa. And I remember being in his office for our first initial meeting, trying to present the ministry to him to make sure that he wanted to continue a relationship with Tactica. And, you know, I was kind of nervous. It was a big, huge table with all the press microphones and everything. And he's the main police figurehead for the nation. And he's a lawyer. So there was, you know, a little bit of stress there and nervousness. And I remember sitting at the table. Of course, he sat at the head of the table, and I was around the corner on his left side. And I had all my statistics and everything very well prepared to tell him all the people we had trained in his agency and how it had gone, and did testimonies, written testimonies, etc. And he said, hey, I don't need to hear any of that. I've already done all my investigation on Tactica. I've already talked with my officers that have been in your course. It's a green light from my perspective. So really, all we need to do now is just drink coffee. I'm like, okay, I can do that, right? I said, well, then let's just get right to the gifts. And I had brought him one of our brand new police Bibles and slid that over to him and said, hey, I know we carry guns and we have lots of different weapons, but I want to give you the weapon that's the most powerful weapon that you can ever have access to. And slid him over his copy of God's Word and just his countenance changed, interestingly enough. So there's this man, you know, high ranking, high position, and his body posture kind of knelt down, and he slid his chair over next to mine, and he says, "Ryan, can you teach me how to study this book?" Of course. Of course. So those are just some examples of what God's doing in the hearts of these men.
But just like the Chief Espinosa asked Ryan to teach him how to use it, we really believe that that's an important part of this whole Bible gifting program. It's not just getting the Bible in their hands. That's the first step. We want them to learn how to use it. And so throughout the course, we have a Bible verse memorization program that we have in the ministry, similar to, is anyone familiar with Awana? Okay, so it works like Awana, basically. But instead of getting your little patches for your vest, depending on the stage of the verse, are we talking 2 or 3 verses or maybe 8 verses, or are we talking a whole chapter, level 1, level 2, or level 3? Instead of getting a patch, you're going to get a piece of very important police equipment that you need either to make your job more convenient or to make your job less dangerous. So you can win anything from handcuff holders to a vest to police boots, and we're immediately getting them from the very first 10 minutes of the course when they get this Bible in their hands, teaching them how to use it, teaching them the difference between the New Testament and the Old Testament, how to find the Gospels and the letters, and getting that word hidden in their heart.
So as we go on this list, contact, conversations, living in community, all drive us to sharing the Gospel. Then we get to conversion. And you'll see those first 4 and then the 3 above, commit, grow, and go. Those are all things that we do. We participate. But conversion is all God, right? The Holy Spirit's the agent of regeneration. So we don't make that decision for anybody. We can't. It is God at work in that person, His Holy Spirit that regenerates the heart of man.
So when we share the Gospel, we challenge the guys to respond looking up. In Costa Rica, we've noticed a cultural thing is that if we have everyone with their heads bowed and their eyes closed, they're going to tend to do what the spiritual leader, or Ryan up front, asked them to do. And so it's very difficult to have an accurate picture of where is God really moving and which hearts are truly turning towards God and going through repentance. But after they profess their decision and they come up front, in front of their peers. So they're doing this on duty. They're doing this in uniform in the middle of a tactical course, standing up and saying, "God's working in my heart. I have messed up my life. I want to follow Jesus. I'm asking God to forgive me of my sins." We don't believe that that's the end of our job. We believe that actually right there is the very beginning of the purpose of while we are in Costa Rica. And so the step after they make this decision begins the follow-up. And that's when the discipleship and the deep relationship and, hey, follow in my footsteps and watch my family love Jesus so that you can learn to go, that's when that begins to take place.
And just a little bit so you understand a little bit of the context that we're talking, because we're not saying that that method of sharing the Gospel is incorrect. What we're saying is in the context and in the culture that we operate in. So in Costa Rica is one of the 5 remaining Catholic state countries on the planet. And so if you think, and if you've studied at all Catholicism, what happens is you have somebody up front, the priest or whoever the religious person is, and you come and you say what is on your heart, and they give you a prescription on how to fix it, whether it's repeating something, whether it's confession, whether it's this or that, but it's all done through the man. And so whatever the man up front or that spiritual, whoever that spiritual leader is, and they call it a couple different things, they have a couple different ranks, you just do, and that is how you maintain your salvation or is how you receive grace. And so, obviously, we know that's not biblical, okay? So what we have to do is we have to step out of that culture a little bit and do some things a little bit differently so that we don't fall into that same pattern. Because if I just tell them, repeat this prayer, then they're putting their faith sometimes in a prayer or in a person rather than faith in Christ. And so it's important for us to just understand that. I just want to make sure we explain that as we continue.
There we go.
Our follow-up is really important when you consider the people group that we work with. I don't know how many of you may have a friend or a relative that is a police officer, but I would say out of 52 Sundays in a year, most police officers are in church less than 30, and it has very little to do with their love for Jesus or their commitment to the local church. It has to do with their schedule. Police officers have one of the most difficult schedules to maintain a strong relationship with the church. So we work hard at getting their information, finding out what their schedule is, finding out where they live, do they have children, can I get to know their wife perhaps, so that we can begin investing into their lives on a face-to-face, shoulder-to-shoulder basis.
And so you kind of see this played out in our vision for the ministry, right? Because a lot of people are like, oh, it's 8 years ago you sent out a letter about Jose, and is he still in Tactica? Well, the vision isn't that they stay in Tactica. The vision isn't that Tactica continues to grow, right? What we want to do is we want the local church to grow. We want the kingdom to grow. And so all of our efforts and all of our methods are designed to evangelize the lost in this particular people group, help train them up, help give them good, solid discipleship, to be disciple makers and directing them to the local church. And so you see that kind of fleshed out here, sold out disciples of Christ. The second thing, that these disciples become disciple makers. And the last two, that they're integrated in the local church. And then the end game, right, is that they're actively participating in church leadership and church planting. That's what we want. God's chosen the local church as the vehicle to take his gospel, to proclaim his name throughout the nations. And so we just are an instrument in that process. And so in that, we support the local church. I have lots of opportunities to preach in the local churches that we partner with. We have about probably eight or so churches that we partner with very, very closely. We do a lot of teaching in the local church. A lot, of course, the armor of God, you know, has a direct correlation with the police equipment that we carry. So the pastors kind of like us coming in and teaching Sunday school and different things like that. But we've also been able to train the local church. And if you've seen our newsletters, you know that for about a year and a half, we actually had a local church that was meeting in our facility while they were saving money to purchase their own facility. So we've had a lot of different connectivity with the local church.
And here we get to the part that is actually the heartbeat of the ministry, where we're talking about this stage of your walk in Christ where you are committing and you are growing. Doesn't necessarily always go in that order, but it's a stage of life where you are saved and you have made that decision. And now someone is coming alongside you and just living life with you. And you are growing in that commitment and you're growing in your maturity. And this is an area of our ministry that would probably take up about 85 to 90% of our time. So the police training can be really exciting to talk about, but it's actually 5 to 10% of what takes up our time on a weekly or a monthly basis.
Good. Tell those two stories.
All right, so we've got a couple stories for you this morning. Just for you to have a face with these stories, for you to kind of enter into this relationship with us. This is Carlos and Joanna. Carlos and Joanna, they're saved. They know Jesus. They've been Christians for several years now. They're in a solid Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. But they are struggling. They're struggling in their marriage. They're struggling with their teenage daughter. And they have reached out to us. Can you just help us? Can you just train us in our marriage? Their pastoral staff isn't able to kind of have the time available for them. And they said, we want to learn how to share our faith with police officers. He's a police officer in the city where he lives. And he says, I think I'm going to start having all these couples over in my house. Can you teach me how to prepare your kitchen to have people over? Can you teach me how to prepare a Bible study? How can I lead these other couples in prayer? And so this is a couple that we've been investing in that do know the Lord, helping them strengthen their marriage and strengthen them in the work of the ministry. And this is Ryan and his little buddy, York. And he is the son of the chief of the anti-riot unit. And he is a little guy whose parents, their life is kind of a mess right now. And they've been struggling in their marriage. The father, the chief, he did come to Christ about a year and a half ago. The wife is still very confused. She has some bitterness issues. And so the son has no real peaceful masculine figure to look up to. And his dad said, Ryan, you're the only man that he really respects right now, that he'll really even obey. You just talk to him. And so on a weekly basis almost, Ryan's getting down at his eye level, just talking to him about life, talking to him about school, talking to him about his toys and how he gets along with his brothers and sisters. And this little guy is coming to the Tactica Bible Studies in the children's class that Adrienne and Miranda put on, and he is learning about Jesus, and he's just in the very beginning stages of starting to put those puzzle pieces together.
The next couple is Rudy and Stephanie, and they are a couple that Rudy is actually a lawyer, but he works full-time as a police officer. He just got his law degree, but they've been married a few years, about 5 years, and they live out on the Pacific Coast. So, of course, right, police officers on the beach need Jesus as well. So we love to go visit Rudy and Stephanie and visit the beach at the same time, but Rudy doesn't know Jesus yet. And he refuses. His wife Stephanie is saved. She's been a believer for several years. And he refuses to go to a church because he says he has a bad experience and he just doesn't want to talk about it. Doesn't want to step foot in a church. But he really likes what he hears about God's Word and learning about God's Word, how we present it in Tactica. So again, we're just that kind of that time period in someone's life where maybe for whatever reason his door for him has closed into the local church, and we're just kind of helping him understand how to reopen that door and get connected. And be praying for Rudy. They just had their first baby, and there were some complications there, and he's just really reaching out. In fact, I was texting with him this morning. He had some tests that they were doing and stuff, and just reminding him that our God is faithful. God is faithful in this process. He can teach you, when we study God's Word, how to be a great father, just like our Heavenly Father. So be praying for Rudy.
A lot of people might not have a complete understanding of how deep the ties are when someone comes from a Roman Catholic upbringing. And in Costa Rica, it's very similar, almost in many ways, to how someone is raised in the Islamic faith, where those ties are in direct correlation to how accepted you are by your family. And so Christian and his wife Crisia, Christian came to Christ this last year in one of the Tactica courses, and his wife does not know the Lord yet. They were very staunch Catholics, very involved in their Catholic church, but they started to see some things in that doctrine that didn't make sense. And when Christian came to the Tactica course and we got him into God's Word, he came to his own conclusions. We didn't actually have to tell him, that is way off. He came to us and he said, this is just wrong what I've been being taught. And so he has come to a desire to have his wife know Jesus as well. And so they come to Tactica about once a week in addition to the Bible studies. And they meet with us on a just couple-to-couple basis. We might go out for lunch. We might have them in our home. But Christia, she's struggling. She's afraid to be rejected by her family, which would be the consequence. If she commits to the evangelical church and leaves Roman Catholicism, her father would no longer be her provider, which even though she's with Christian, the father provides a great deal of money and food and school supplies for her children. So if she goes to the evangelical church, she'll lose that. And they're seeking and they're afraid right now of the evangelical church. So this is an example of a couple who the husband knows the Lord, the wife is investigating, but they're not yet attending church regularly.
And so what does discipleship look like for them, right, or with them? So they always want to meet as a couple, and so we're kind of teaching them of what godly marriage looks like. We're simultaneously sharing the gospel because Crisia still doesn't know the Lord. We're teaching them some parenting stuff, and the effect, right, that this has, if you think about it, Christian was a very well-known corrupt police officer prior to meeting Jesus. And so he's lived that life. He's been an officer for like 13, 14 years. Comes to Jesus, life transformed, no longer can be corrupt. And so do you think that would take notice in a department? Yeah, big time. And so everybody's watching him close. And so he's under scrutiny, right? So a lot of my meeting with him and my conversations and discipleship with him is walking faithfully, walking obediently, being having perseverance, right? Knowing that the eyes are on you, walking righteously. We studied, we talked about in Genesis this morning in Sunday school, right? And that Noah found favor, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then the next verse says that he walked righteously. And that's what it's about, walking righteously in those places. And for us, that community is the public safety sector. But you know what? We all have that responsibility, whether you work as a butcher or whether you work for the phone company or as a school teacher or wherever we're at, we all have a sphere of influence where God has called us to be faithful and to walk faithfully. All right. Gretchen says, for time reasons, we got to move forward. You got to tell them this, because just for nothing else, their names. This is Harry and Jerry. I always find
couple,
that funny.
Harry and Jerry. They had been coming to Tactica Bible Study. Very long story short, they were under conviction that when we were studying the Ten Commandments, we got to the Seventh Commandment about fornication. They realized, oh my goodness, we're living in fornication. We're Christians. We go to church, but we're not married, and we act like we're married. We need to make this right before the Lord. And so after about 3.5 months of just digging into God's Word, they confessed their sin, and the next month they got married in the ministry center with us that December.
All right, this next guy, we're going to tell you his story real quick, and then we're going to finish up. His name is Diego Cruz, and he's that big guy right there in the center. You can tell he's a pretty big macho guy. Diego is a captain with the National Police Force in the drug unit. Very well known, very good police officer when it comes to technically and tactically speaking. Several years ago, he made a decision to pursue, even though he was a police officer, pretty high ranking, he wanted to pursue his love for medicine and become an emergency doctor. And so we began a relationship with him. If you think back to that chart, context, conversations, living in community, all lead us to evangelism. And it was really a casual contact. I knew who he was. He knew who I was. Once in a while, we would meet, we would talk, but nothing real super deep, but always just dropping those little gospel nuggets in his life, right? Before we would have coffee and bread or whatever in the afternoon. Hey, Diego, can I pray for us real quick? And, oh, sure, okay, of course. You know, he would always allow me, but just little things like that. And he's a big observer. So he was watching those interactions between Gretchen and I, because later we would find out how important that was, because him and his wife were going through huge problems. We spent a lot of time together as our relationship grew, because he wanted to bring tactical medicine to Costa Rica, and it has never existed there before. So it's kind of like medicine, how to treat a patient right out on the field of combat. And so that's a really big thing in law enforcement right now, is tourniquets and all these different devices that are available to help save lives out on the battlefield or during the incident. And so we just spend time, right? A lot of times, it just means rubbing shoulders with people, building things, hanging out, doing what we need to do. And you can't have relationship with people if you don't spend time together. It's just like your marriage. It requires a time investment. And so that's what it was with Diego.
Good. And so in May, Diego was chosen to attend the Tactica Ministries course. He attended as a doctor. So he was one of the five physicians that was in our section of the course while the tactical lessons were going on. But Diego came with a heavy heart, and we didn't know about this in the beginning, but about halfway through the week, we discovered Diego is struggling big time in his marriage, and his wife on Monday said, "You don't need to come home after work today. I'm going to put your clothes out by the street, and this is done. It has been so hard. Let's just give up on this marriage." So having that in his mind and in his heart, he comes to the Tactica Ministries course, and he's gifted a Bible on day one. And he is actually was in the small group that I was a translator for, so I was just given the blessing by God to watch these phases and these steps that God was doing in his heart, where he came on Monday just deeply disturbed, deeply burdened, but really a hard heart, kind of get soft over the week. And come Wednesday, he starts questioning what he even believes. And he actually acknowledges he has faith in nothing. On Thursday, he starts wondering, "I'm going to lose my wife. I possibly am going to lose my house." And he says, "Ryan, should I even come to the course tomorrow? Maybe I should just leave now. I'm afraid that I'm not going to have a place to live if I stay throughout the course." He says, "Diego, what's your view of what's going on right now?" He says, "Well, I feel like here, I mean, you're talking to me about the Bible. And when we talk about the Bible, I have peace." "Then, Diego, why don't you stay here where you have peace and you trust in what God's going to do?" So Diego stayed at the course on Thursday, and he was able to be one of the instructors after he had learned the material. And on Friday, during the presentation of the gospel, Ryan it's kind of a jovial moment of his presentation that morning, and he's passing out this long rappel cord. I don't know how many hundreds of feet, but very, very long rappel cord, all weaving it back and through, back and forth through the audience, with the illustration that this rappel cord represents your life, represents eternity, and your life is just a mere piece of dental floss hanging over that. So all of these guys are, you know, kind of laughing because they're holding onto the rappel cord, and you can see him there just sitting in the middle. And we didn't even notice this picture till a week after. But you can see God's working in his heart. Everyone's giggling and laughing, having a good time, holding this rappel cord, and there he is, just staring down and praying, actually. We find out he was praying about what God would have him do with the information that he was learning.
So we find out that Diego did make a decision to follow Jesus, repents of his sins, gives his life to Christ, his marriage to Christ, his family. He's got a, they got a little daughter as well. And then begins the discipleship. Wife is upset still with him, still hurt, carries a lot of hurt in her heart, anger still, obviously, because he had lived, by his own admission, a life for himself, pursuing his police career, pursuing his medicine, whatever course, whatever, anything he wanted to do, but it was all in pursuit for himself, leaving and losing his family in the past and behind. And so we began a discipleship relationship, bringing her in and just loving on her and bringing them together and walking them through what biblical marriage looks like, what that covenant looks like according to God's word. And we got to a place in the, was it like a month or so later, month and a half later maybe, of meeting with them, where we were at a large Tactica Bible study. We do one, we do lots of Bible studies, but one big one every month, where we try to bring in as many guys as we can that aren't working. And so there's 100, or at least well over 100 there at this Bible study. And Diego wants to have some airtime on the microphone, right? He asked if he could talk. Now, you got to be careful doing that, right, with a Latino giving him the microphone. And so him and I talked. I'm like, what do you want? What's on your heart? And it was awesome. And so as I was sharing the lesson, it came to a good point where I was able to invite him up, and this is what he shared.
He says, this whole story about this man who had lived his life for himself. He was a married man, but lived as if he were married to his studies and to his career and to his rank and to his coworkers. And at the end of this about 7-minute testimony, he says, in case you haven't figured out, I'm talking about myself. I've thrown my life away pursuing my life, and in that pursuit, I've lost my family. And for the last 2 years, my marriage has been in such distress that I actually haven't even worn my wedding ring. I took it off 2 years ago when we had a big fight, and I've never put it back on. And God saved me 4 weeks ago. And he changed my life when I repented of my sins and asked him to be the Lord of my life. And it's time that I turn my life around. And the first thing that needs to start being turned around is my marriage. And he looks right, he's got tears coming out of his eyes, looks right at his wife over in the audience, says, baby, can you come up here? He digs out of his pocket, and he had brought his wedding ring. He says, babe, can you come up here and put my wedding ring back on me? I don't want to have it off again.
And just like here in America, guess what gets shouted from all the people? Kiss the girl! Kiss the girl! And so that's exactly what they did. And so that's what it's all about, is this commitment, this discipleship. They grow, they become disciple makers, all with the intent of going, of multiplication. And that is our strategy. These are some of our national partners. We kind of got stories for them, but we don't have time to go over all of them. But be praying for them. You can see their names up there. These are the three main couples of that kind of comprise a larger group of about 20 families that are working with Tactica right now at a large scale. And that is part of our force multiplier group. That's a strategy, and I have it here for you. Acts 6:7. You can, it's printed right there in Spanish. But that says that the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly. God's word doesn't exaggerate. And so, if we want to see multiplication, if we want to see God's kingdom grow, it's got to have the connection to this book. And so that's why it's integral in everything that we teach and we preach and we, through from push-ups to winning police gear, everything circulates and comes around, evolves around God's word for us. And so we don't really have time to talk about this either, but maybe another time. What we want to do is end on just give you four quick prayer requests, and then we'll be done.
So we'd ask you that you would be praying for the maturity and development of this Tactica Force multiplier. Like Ryan said, it's about 20 families right now that are working with us and serving as volunteers within the ministry. They have a large conference coming up in November. Pray for us as we organize that conference where we bring all of these 20 families in for an entire weekend of training and fellowship. Pray for Ryan's leadership. He's leading Tactica Ministries as a 501c3 in Costa Rica. He's leading Costa Rica as an ABWE representative there, our mission agency. He's the leader of our family, and he's the leader of the Force Multiplier Group. And so he has a lot on his shoulders. Pray for balance spiritually as well in that. Pray for the Tactica Ministry Center. That is a hub of activity. Even though we open at 8, it starts around 7:15 in the morning. Someone coming over for a cup of coffee just to talk. There's counseling and discipleship, coffee and cookies all day long, every day of the week. And so the relationships, not the building in and of itself, but the relationships that take place in that building, pray for them. Lastly, expansion, which was the last slide we didn't get to touch on. That's taking place in Ecuador in September. We're going for the third year in a row, taking a group of American short-term missionaries, police instructors, to Ecuador to share the gospel with Ecuadorian police.
On a personal level, spiritual growth, first love. And we put that in that way. And if you remember the last time we hear, that one was number one as well on our list. And that goes back to the Revelation chapter 2, the church of Ephesus, gives this beautiful list of commendations of your faithfulness, of your calling out of bad doctrine, on and on and on. And then it says what? But this I hold against you. You've lost your first love. And we don't ever want that to happen. Our first love, we want to maintain Jesus. Jesus focused in all that we do. Because even in ministry, and God's doing an incredible work, but even ministry can sometimes turn into a god if you're not careful. If you don't keep your eyes focused on who is the provider, who is the enabler, who is the one that gives us those blessings. Number two, our marriage. Gretchen and I are going to be celebrating 20 years this year in September, so we're pretty excited about that, right? And yeah, awesome. And we have a great marriage, but we also know that it would be an absolute ministry ender if anything happened to that. And so we guard our marriage very closely, as should you, because it is a huge item under attack by the enemy. Number three, Adrian and Miranda, keeping them as our first disciples. And it has, like we said, been a huge blessing this last year in particular to have them working shoulder to shoulder with us in the ministry. In fact, Mom is going to stay in Costa Rica, but Adrian and Miranda will be going to Ecuador with me in September for the first time to function as translators and just the spiritual support. And lastly, financial support. I'm sure you probably have missionaries that always lay out a big long list of financial needs and they're undersupported here or there. We praise God we're not. We're thankful for your faithful support over the years. We're 100%. Our family is fully funded. Our ministry is doing well. We've not had to leave the field ever to raise support. We've not ever had a stress time over finances. God has always, always provided. And we don't take that lightly. We know that's required a sacrifice on your part, and so we thank you for that. The current need that we do have that's not with our like maintaining us on the field is this Force Multiplier Conference that is coming up of sponsoring some couples to get them through this leadership enrichment seminar. So I'm going to invite the pastor to come back on up. And we're going to end our time. Again, thank you so much for your support of the ministry, prayer, and financial support.
Thank you.
Thanks, Pastor. God bless you.
When you hear the testimony of that, I'm going to ask the gentleman to come forward for the love offering. When you hear the testimony of the couple, that the man that wanted his ring back on, and what do you do in America? And maybe it's the men that would say, kiss the bride. I know my wife sitting next to me, and her response was, aw. Think about that, though. Awe of what? Awe of a mighty God, isn't it? That can take hearts that are hard and soften them and change them. I just praise God for what he's doing and what he will continue to do. And you have an opportunity now to give. We're going to this love offering is just to help them. He says 100% supported, and we just praise God for that. So we're just going to take a love offering, and I'm sure that you cannot find a thing to do with it, but I'm sure you will. The church board also, they sent out an email last night, I think it was, that mentioned this need for this couple retreat, that they're sponsoring couples that are struggling in their marriages to come and to learn. And I just forwarded that to the board members and said, you want to take on one of those? And they said yes. So you as a church family are going to be supporting one of those out of the mission fund. And so we thank you for that as well. But let's ask God's blessing and just commit this time to him. Lord, I just, we are in awe of what you do and continue to do in and through lives that are changed through Christ and your word. And we just praise you for that. Lord, we just commit these couples that we learned about today to you. And some are still in a... one mate is saved and the other isn't, and our hearts go out to them, Lord, and we know you can soften and unite them in you, and we just pray for that. We just the ones that were struggling in their marriages, and we just commit them to you, Lord, that you would continue to strengthen them, and we just thank you especially for the Rott family. We just thank you how you are using them for your glory and honor. We ask your blessing on this offering now, for we pray it in Jesus' name.